Hello there, faithful listener. You've tuned in to Season 7 of the Bible Explained podcast. So make sure to grab your cup of coffee, because today we are going to be discussing the book of 1 Samuel. Well, hello and good morning, faithful listeners, and welcome to the Bible Explained podcast on this lovely, lovely Monday morning. I am so excited that you're here with me today to share a delicious cup of coffee with me, or a gross old cup of tea, whatever you choose and whatever floats your boat. I'm just kidding, you guys. All right, let's read 1 Samuel 19, verses 11 through 24 today. We're going to finish up this chapter, and we're going to be talking about something pretty funny. At least I think it's kind of hilarious. So let's talk about this. And as always, I'll be reading out of the WEB, but feel free to grab the version you prefer this morning, and let's read together. Saul sent messengers to David's house to watch him and to kill him in the morning. Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, "If you don't save your life tonight, tomorrow you will be killed." So Michal let David down through the window. He went away, fled, and escaped. Michal took the teraphim and laid it in the bed and put a pillow of goat's hair at its head and covered it with clothes. When Saul sent messengers to take David, she said, "He is sick." Saul sent the messengers to see David, saying, "Bring him up to me in the bed, that I may kill him." When the messengers came in, behold, the teraphim was in the bed with the pillow of goat's hair at its head. Saul said to Michal, "Why have you deceived me like this and let my enemy go so that he has escaped?" Michal answered Saul, "He said to me, 'Let me go. Why should I kill you?'" Now David fled and escaped and came to Samuel at Ramah and told him all that Saul had done to him. He and Samuel went and lived in Noah. Saul was told, saying, "Behold, David is at Noah in Ramah." Saul sent messengers to seize David, and when they saw the company of the prophets prophesying, and Samuel standing as head over them, God's spirit came on Saul's messengers, and they also prophesied. When Saul was told, he sent other messengers, and they also prophesied. Saul sent messengers again the third time, and they also prophesied. Then he also went to Ramah and came to the great well that is in Seku, and he asked, "Where are Samuel and David?" One said, "Behold, they are at Noah in Ramah." He went there to Noah in Ramah. Then God's spirit came on him also, and he went on and prophesied until he came to Noah in Ramah. He also stripped off his clothes, and he prophesied before Samuel and lay down naked all that day and all that night. Therefore they say, "Is Saul also among the prophets?" If you think God doesn't have a sense of humor, then you've never read 1 Samuel 19, because this portion is hilarious, in my opinion. So let's get into this. It says in verse 11 that Saul sent messengers to David's house to watch him and to kill him in the morning. And as you guys remember, Saul loved David, then he hated David, then he was going to kill David, then he wasn't going to kill David, and now he's going to kill David again because he has been influenced by his own emotions and by this evil spirit who is tormenting him. And he's listening to that instead of what he should be listening to. So Saul goes back on his word because he had promised his son Jonathan, "I will not kill David." He goes back on his word, and now he is going to kill David again, which, by the way, David is his son-in-law now. So there's also that as well. Because don't forget that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David and they were married. And so Saul has no problem just ripping David away from Michal. He doesn't care at all, really, about his daughter. So it says that he's going to send messengers to David's house to watch him and to kill him in the morning. But Michal, David's wife, told him everything. She says, "If you don't save your life tonight, tomorrow you'll be killed." So Michal ends up saving David's life. She saved his life by warning David that he was going to die. And I don't know how Michal knew about this. It doesn't say in scripture how she found out, but either she found out from her brother, or she found out from some of the servants, or maybe she just knew her dad's personality, that her dad was kind of a nut. So she warns David to leave, and she lets him down through the window. So David flees, is what it says. And he's going to be gone for a long time. And Michal is not going to see him for a very long time. I don't know if Michal knows that yet. But anyway, Michal forms this scheme to both trick the messengers of her father, to trick her father, and also to buy David some time. So what she does is she takes a teraphim and she puts it in the bed and disguises it kind of like David. She puts like a blanket over top of it and some goat's hair on it and makes it look as if David is lying in bed. Now, what is a teraphim, you might ask? Well, my footnote in the WEB says that teraphim were household idols that may have been associated with inheritance rights to the household property. So basically, teraphim were idols. They were household idols, and that means that Michael had an idol in her house. Because we know that this was not David's idol. David was very much a worshiper of Yahweh, and very much a worshiper of Yahweh only. We know that from the Psalms that he wrote. He didn't appreciate teraphim or household idols, but yet Michael had one. And for some reason, David allowed her to have it, or maybe didn't know she had it. I don't know. But Michael has an idol, and this just shows a little bit about Michael's personality. She did not have the same heart for God that David, in fact, had. So she took the teraphim, kind of dressed it up like David, and so Saul sends his messengers to take David, and so she opens the door to them, and she says, he is sick. So they go back to Saul, and they're like, well, David's sick. We can't go in there right now. And so then Saul is like, I don't care if he's sick. Bring the whole bed to me if you have to. I'm going to kill him right here and now. So the messengers go back to Michael's house and they go in. When the messengers came in, behold, the teraphim was in the bed with the pillow of goat's hair at its head. So and now the messengers realize that this is not David in the bed, even though they were peeking their head in before and they saw, you know, what looked like David lying in the bed. They now realize that Michael has helped David escape. So Saul sends for his daughter and he is very angry. And here's what he says. Why have you deceived me like this and let my enemy go so that he has escaped? And what's interesting about this is that Saul calls David his enemy. And that is absolutely just not true. Saul was deceiving himself into believing that David was his enemy, but David was never Saul's enemy. Even later on when Saul goes on like a manhunt for David, David had multiple opportunities to kill Saul, and David actually never took those opportunities because David believed that God had ordained Saul as king, and so he was not going to kill the king. He believed that, so David was never, ever Saul's enemy. But Saul has deceived himself into believing this because he was believing lies instead of believing the truth. He was refusing to listen to truth. Instead, he was listening to the lies of the evil spirit that was tormenting him. He was believing the lies of his own feelings of insecurity. So Saul has deceived himself into believing that David is his enemy. So anyway, he yells at his daughter, Michael, and he's like, why did you let my enemy go? Michael answered Saul, he said to me, let me go. Why should I kill you? So she saves herself by posing this lie to her father because her father is unstable. And Michael absolutely knew this. She knew that her father was unstable. She knew that her father may very well kill her if she purposefully defied him and allowed David to get away. Saul may very well have killed Michael. So she saves herself and she says, David told me he was going to kill me if I did not let him get away. And that is how she gets off the hook, and Saul is no longer angry with her that we know of. So afterward, David flees, and he decides to go see Samuel because Samuel was a friendly face. And David knew that if he went to Samuel, the high priest, that he would be protected. So he goes to see Samuel, and you guys remember Samuel, of course. We haven't talked about him in quite a while, but Samuel was the high priest of Israel at this time period. He was very old, I'm sure, at this time. And also, he was the one who had anointed Saul as king and then also anointed David as king. So David knew Samuel because he had met Samuel once before, and that is where he decides to go, is to the high priest. So David goes to this area called Ramah, and that is where Samuel lived. So it says in verse 18, David fled and escaped and came to Samuel at Ramah and told him all that Saul had done to him. So Samuel takes David and protects him by taking him to this place called Noeth. And this was also a town in Ramah. So Saul was told that David and Samuel were living together. Saul, of course, gets very angry. So he sends messengers out to Noeth in Ramah to seize David, is what it says in verse 20. So apparently, Something interesting about Noeth. There was a school of prophets there. And apparently Samuel was part of the school of prophets, obviously being the high priest and being a prophet himself. Samuel is at this school of prophets. So these messengers get to Noeth and they arrive at this school and Samuel is there. They're probably looking for David, trying to figure out where David is. And they hear the prophets at this school prophesying. And then suddenly all of these messengers start prophesying as well. And this is where the story takes a very hilarious turn, in my opinion. I think this is so funny. So these messengers get to the school and they start prophesying right along with the other prophets. And they go back home. They don't get David. So Saul sees that these messengers have failed. So he sends another group of messengers out. And the same exact thing happens. They get to the school. They hear the prophets prophesying. They start prophesying and then they leave. And this happens three times, okay? And the messengers all come home empty-handed. So I had to look this up because I was like, why would prophesying save David? You know, like, couldn't these messengers start prophesying and then go look for David after that and grab him and take him back to Saul? Why would prophesying save David? Well, prophesying means that you are encountering the Holy Spirit, right? Because if you are truly prophesying, in other words, saying something that God has told you to say, that means that you are being touched by the Holy Spirit. Being touched by the Holy Spirit is both powerful and convicting. So don't forget that these men were on an errand to kill somebody that was innocent. And not to mention that these men probably also loved David. Because don't forget that every single person in Saul's household and basically in all of Israel loved David. He was very famous in Israel. So these messengers who had probably loved David receive a supernatural encounter with the Holy Spirit that possibly convicts them and changes their mind toward David. And because of this conviction, they stop what they're doing and they go home empty-handed. So that's one possibility as to why prophesying saved David's life. The other possibility is that these men forgot what they were doing because they went and they prophesied, and this prophecy that they experienced and being touched by the Holy Spirit was so powerful for them that they actually forgot what they were doing. But personally, I think it's more of the first, because the Holy Spirit convicts people. That is what the Holy Spirit does. So these men possibly were feeling very convicted and just did not do what Saul wanted them to do. And they went home empty-handed. So finally, Saul takes matters into his own hands. He's like, you know what? My messengers are worthless. I am going to go and kill David myself. So Saul goes. He goes to Ramah and he arrives at this great well, it says, that is in Seku. And he asks somebody that's at the well, he says, where are Samuel and David? And they say, behold, they are at Noeth in Ramah, which is where Saul knew that they were. But it's possible that because his messengers came back empty-handed, he thought maybe that David had moved somewhere else, that he was no longer in Ramah, like Samuel had just taken him and, you know, left with him somewhere. So it is possible that's why Saul asked again, where are David and Samuel? So he finds out they're still in the same place, and he goes. It says he went there to Noeth in Ramah. Then God's spirit came on him also, and he went on and prophesied until he came to Noeth in Ramah. So suddenly Saul starts prophesying as well, prophesying in the spirit. It says God's spirit came on him. And this is the first time Saul has encountered God's spirit in quite a while, because don't forget that God's spirit has left Saul. And so Saul is overcome with God's spirit that he also begins prophesying. And it's kind of interesting because Saul has prophesied once before. And this was many, many years prior to this, when he was first anointed as king. And he started prophesying with a band of prophets, musical prophets, way back then. It is mentioned a chapter before this, I think it was, that Saul was prophesying in his house. However, that was false prophecy, because God's spirit was not with Saul at that time. And we talked about that the other day. But also the Hebrew word prophesy can also mean to rant. However, if the word prophesy is stated with the Holy Spirit, which it is right here in 1 Samuel 19, what we read today. That means that Saul was truly prophesying in the Holy Spirit. Now, we do not know exactly what that means, though. We don't know if Saul was predicting the future, predicting that David would be on the throne, or maybe singing hymns or recalling scripture that God was bringing to his mind. We have no clue what Saul was saying here. But we know that Saul was prophesying in the spirit. And here's the very funny part and the very ironic part as well. It says that Saul gets to Ramah, knoweth in Ramah, and he strips off his clothes and he prophesied before Samuel and lay there naked all that day and all that night. Okay, so a lot of people have questions about this. Why was Saul naked? Why did Saul feel the need to disrobe? But the Holy Spirit was humbling Saul in this moment because Saul was so arrogant and he believed himself to be above God. On multiple occasions, he tried to usurp the authority of God and of the high priest. He tried to make himself out to be God. And now Saul once again was trying to make himself out to be God by going and trying to kill God's anointed, David. So Saul was humbled in this moment where he takes off his kingly robes, his very expensive, beautiful clothing. He disrobes and he starts lying there prophesying all night, overcome with the Holy Spirit. Saul was completely humbled in this moment. Now, the word naked in Hebrew doesn't necessarily mean like your birthday suit. It could also mean you're in your undergarments or you're humbled as well. For example, if you uncover your father's nakedness, okay, that doesn't mean that you are stripping your father. It means that in some way you are humbling your father. If you ever see that old-fashioned phrase in scripture, that is what that means. So the word naked doesn't necessarily mean bare skin. It just means possibly humbled or in your undergarments. But since Saul certainly disrobed, because that's what it says here, most likely he was just lying there in his undergarments without any of his kingly clothes on at all. But in a way, Saul was kind of forced to do this by the Holy Spirit, I personally believe. Later on, we're going to see a story of David, who was dancing around in his undergarments before the Lord in a linen ephod is what it says. But David chose to do that because that was humbling. That was so humbling for a king to be in a linen ephod, that David didn't feel that it was right for him to dance before the Lord in kingly robes. David chose to humble himself by stripping down to his ephod. So you can see the difference in heart there. Saul was a very arrogant man and was always fighting the Holy Spirit. And even here, it doesn't seem like Saul is too happy to have the Holy Spirit, you know, surrounding him inside of him again. It doesn't seem like he's that happy at all, because in the next chapter, literally nothing changes. So to me, and this is my own personal opinion, that proves that Saul never truly wanted the Holy Spirit. All right, faithful listeners, we have a choice. We have a choice to either be like David and to humble ourselves in front of God, or we have the choice to be like Saul and to have God humble us. I think it's better to be more like David and to humble ourselves first, because when God humbles us, it's not going to be pretty. Kind of like Saul lying there in his underwear. Not a pretty sight. Nobody probably wanted to see that. Anyway, faithful listeners, I hope that you all really enjoyed this episode. And if you did, please share it on your social media platforms. Check out everything that is listed in the description of this episode. And you know what? I will see you all tomorrow for an episode out of Acts. Happy listening, and God bless.